Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. This is the Writings of Paul class, and my name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of God. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so if you'll be so kind as to turn to that chapter, we're going to begin the lesson. Today's lesson is entitled, The Introduction to Spiritual Gifts. The Introduction to Spiritual Gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and this week's Bible verse is found in chapter 12, verse 3, which is the test given by the Apostle Paul in our chapter here, the test given that tests whether a person as the Holy Ghost, whether they are saved or not. Which says, 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. That is the test as to whether a person is saved or not, their confession. Let's look at verses 1 through 7, please. Everybody find their spot there in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll get started. Big welcome to everybody who's come our way. Appreciate your attention. Quote, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. End quote. We'll stop there. Again, Paul encourages us not to be ignorant of spiritual things, and writes this out for our understanding. The Word of God is God's revealed will, and we are to know His will. God would not have us ignorant, but filled with wisdom and knowledge. Education is a must for all concerned Christians. Here, wisdom another, the Word of God by the same Spirit, and to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, end quote. Plainly, we see in what Paul has just written here, this list, not everyone has the same gift, or they don't all have the same abilities in the body of Christ. There are differences. Noticeable in this list is the fact also that these are not the same as natural talents, but are instead God-given gifts. Because they are, It also can be said that the lost do not or ever have these real gifts. A person who is not saved may have similar talents, as being able to speak many different languages and interpret them, or be talented in the field of medicine. There are those outside the church who have the wisdom of the world and great capacities of memory. But this we understand as natural talent, and is not what Paul is talking about here. It also must be understood that there are many imitations of these God-given spiritual gifts. So what we see here are many gifts, so that not one person is entrusted with all of them, but they are spread out and distributed throughout the church among its many members. Paul says that we were like the rest of the world once, in the word he calls the Gentiles, which is the nations, the ethnos. A general term loosely given to describe the lost. We were like the rest of the world, following after dumb things, dumb goals, dumb self-erected idols. But now, we are different. We all now have entrusted to us new gifts to serve and honor our one Lord. Here it is brought to our attention that we are all different, yet we all serve the same one Lord. We are not to be copies of one another. We are not to be copycats, so to speak, but are to enjoy our differences. Not all, therefore, are to be preachers. Not all are to speak in tongues. Not all are to be healers. The followers of Christ must realize that Jesus Christ himself did not speak in tongues. The charismatic churches have it wrong by holding that all who are believers are to speak in tongues and exhibit certain spiritual gifts, which are, by the way, approved by them. The gift of tongues was never a proof of salvation held up by the early church. A need of evidence of salvation through a certain gift, or even what is later called the second blessing, is dolefully absent in Scripture as something needful for all. The supernatural gift of speaking in another known language without it ever being learned by the speaker, as found in Acts chapter 2, may, to the hearers, sounded as if it was stammering or stuttering or gibberish by some who were unbelievers, but the believers called by Christ heard it all clearly in Acts chapter 2 in their own known native language. And the languages there in chapter 2 are listed, none of them which were actually unknown. What occurred then was for the benefit of all present, that is, during Pentecost, and understood by those who were the receivers. Now, what we see in the charismatics is still nothing but more or less stammering gibberish, understood by no one. Later, Paul states that there is to be no one that speaks in a foreign language in the church if there is no one there to interpret that language, as seen in chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. As we will see later also, is that all these gifts have governing rules of use in the church. They are not given to be used for self-promotion, but rather for the edification and for the benefit of all. As Paul says here, quote, to profit withal, end quote. If they are not beneficial or edifying, then they are not to be used in the church. In short, the gift is not given as if to say, quote, hey, look here, I'm spiritual now, end quote. That is pretty much self-promotion and not glorification of Christ. The rule concerning this has been laid down by Christ when he said, quote, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. End quote. The Spirit doesn't testify of the believer as being one of his, nor does the Spirit testify of himself, but he testifies of Christ. He points to Christ. He leads people to Christ. This rule cannot be ignored, so that any gift cannot, nor would it ever, testify of the Holy Spirit's presence. This would mean that all present-day visible signs, such as certain spiritual gifts, like unknown tongues and showy healings, are actually forgeries. So the New Testament word for tongue is the Greek word glossa. Is actually nothing more than a known language that can and should be interpreted. In reality, there is no known heavenly language that any human can actually speak. At least not in this present world. The oft referred to verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 26, which says, quote, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself speaketh or maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, end quote. That verse does not help the charismatic cause in that it plainly states that the intercession of the Holy Spirit cannot be expressed by the human. Cannot means we don't have the ability to do so. Therefore, a silent prayer is, in fact, the most Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayer of all. Paul points out also that no one can curse Jesus Christ or condemn Christ by the Spirit of God, being that he, that is Jesus, is ever blessed. Those who do so show themselves not to be of the Holy Spirit. Instead, those who truly call him their Lord do so by the Spirit of God. So simply, we see here that those individuals or religious groups that condemn the true doctrine of Christ and attack the divinity of our Lord do not do so by being led by the true and living God. Since God the Father himself pronounced Christ as his beloved, his only begotten Son. The New Testament testifies of Christ's deity, and therefore those who cast it aside also cast aside the witness of the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3 of this chapter is the only test of whether a person has a Holy Spirit or not. Not so-called visible gifts of the Spirit. That is not the test. Does that person have Christ as Lord is the question. Not if they have some sort of gift. So, verse 3 there is very important. Let us briefly and quickly, we're not going to take much time with this, so we're going to go through this because we won't have the time to do all this in detail. Let us briefly and quickly look at the gifts Paul lists in this chapter, keeping in mind the absence of the greatest of these, which is charity, found in the next chapter. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, leaves that out of this list of gifts, saying that we must go on from these initial things onto the more excellent way, that of charity. The Church of Jesus Christ is a charitable organization. It must operate that way. The Great Commission comes first with this evangelization and education. But the core of all of this is charity, or God-given love. We're to do all that we do for Christ out of agape love, out of God's love, and because of God's love. That means that the real members of his church are to be charitable. The real members of his church are to be charitable and not tight-fisted with their gifts, talents, time, and assets, as well as Christian love. They are to be giving people, knowing that God gave his only begotten Son for them. A preacher is to preach out of love of God. A teacher is to teach out of the love of God. Our gifts are to be used for his glory, not ours, and based on his love. Clearly, we are to take 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14 as a whole, that we may get a clear picture of what is all involved with spiritual gifts. We will have to consider all this together, these three chapters. The phrases, quote, there are differences of administrations, end quote, and, quote, there are diversities of operations, end quote, rather divide the gifts into two groups. The first is that of the offices of the church, and the second is that of the operations, or that of the effects or service, which usually results from the offices. Historically, there are cases of these things being shared, which tend to blur the differences. There were some apostles who were evangelists and some deacons who were evangelists. So there was a mix of offices in the early church. The first spiritual gift listed is the word of wisdom, found in verse 8. Briefly, this probably involved new revelations of God's wisdom in his dealings with men. If you remember Acts chapter 2, those involved spoke of the wonderful works of God. That was the topic. Now, the next gift is the word of knowledge, which is perhaps just the pronouncing of the already revealed word of God. Knowledge would indicate a body of already known facts. Quote, to another, faith, end quote, would be confidence in God. Faith is a fundamental gift. We must have confidence in God and his word. And for that, see Romans chapter 4, verse 3. The gifts of healing was notably done by the apostles and testified of the truth of the word of God that they spoke. The, quote, working of miracles, end quote, is a general phrase that refers directly to the power of God to change things. Quote, to another, prophecy, or the inspired disclosure of the future. The inspired disclosure of the future is prophecy. To another, that wording is pretty important. A prophet has to be inspired of God directly in order to truly disclose the future, owing to the fact there is no direct revelation and direct inspiration today, and we'll get into that in a minute, there are no prophets. Quote, to another, discerning of spirits, end quote, is the ability to discern between evil and good, that is spiritually, to know the good and evil spirits. There's behind ideas and organizations, there are spiritual powers. Quote, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Biblically, these two should be considered together, since they are biblically non-functional if one appears without the other. The question would be, on this point, would be, would the Holy Spirit give the gift to a person if there was not another person available who could interpret? In other words, would the Holy Spirit give someone the gift of tongues knowing that there was no one around to interpret? Since the Holy Spirit is divine and has all knowledge, he would therefore not give one such a gift while knowing it would not be complemented by the interpreter. Therefore, if you have a group of people standing around doing nothing but gibberish and no one able to make any sense out of what is being gibbered, that is not an example of true gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not work against God's holy word, and therefore we cannot expect exceptions in this. We also see here that the body of Christ is to work as a whole, that is, together, helping one another. A spirit of cooperation is a must in any spirit-filled church or any spirit-filled person. No use being stubborn, hard-headed, and expect to be spirit-filled. After this, Paul beautifully illustrates the church functioning as a human body, of which each and all of the individual parts all work together for the benefit of the whole. Each part is not more important than another part, but each has its own function and importance. Therefore, it is important to be satisfied with one's own function in the church. Excuse me. God does not call all to be the same thing. Therefore, all should not desire to be the same thing. All should not desire to be preachers. All should not desire to be teachers or evangelists. All do not have the same gifts, nor are they supposed to. Not all are to speak in tongues, and not all are to be healers. Not all are to be teachers, in other words. That is clear in this passage. God has made us all different, and we should not be afraid to be different. God has given us different gifts and talents. But all in Christ are to function for the benefit of the whole church, and all are to glorify God in all. Is pretty much what Paul says here, that idea. He brings that out in this last section, which we're going to go over here in closing. Look at verses 28 through 31. Quote, God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Excuse me. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto a more excellent way. End quote. You know, I just happen to think the ones, especially the charismatics, who push the speaking in tongues to everybody, they don't push the interpretation to everybody. Interesting. Everybody is supposed to speak in tongues as evidence, but where's the interpreters? Anyways, Paul says covet the best gifts. Now, there is no real evidence of the continuation of supernatural gifts, which continuation of supernatural gifts of the Spirit, which goes beyond the times of the apostles. The completion of the Holy Scriptures, which we call the Holy Bible, has provided the perfect and complete Word of God as God's only revelation needed by the church. Quote, that which is perfect has come, so that which was in part has been done away with. End quote. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. God's word, in other words, has come and is complete. Therefore, there is no need for further revelation, nor for a continuation of the supernatural gifts that testified that this is indeed God's revelation. No need of it. That would mean the gift of prophecy was done away with during the apostolic times. That is a rather important concept, because later, so-called self-appointed prophets, such as Joseph Smith of the Latter-day Saints, or Muhammad of the Muslims, or any other would-be prophet that comes along, are all condemned as false, because the text of Scripture is closed and doesn't continue to develop by ongoing clearer revelations over the centuries. That seems to be always the claim, that God's Word needs a clear revelation. God's Word is already clear, thank you very much. And God's Word is perfect. No need of correction. Nor is the text of Scripture open for modification by those who dislike what it may have to say. I'm sorry. It's not open for modification. You cannot change the Word of God. It is written. The text of Scripture does not have accompanying miracles today because we are to take God's Word by faith. A wicked generation needs signs. We are to take God's Word by faith. Therefore, there needs to be no accompanying signs and miracles. So, we bring this lesson to a close, but briefly and incompletely, since the following chapters will go on and expand our understanding of the subject as we actually get into them, the Lord willing. So, with that, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for this Thy Word, and we thank Thee for sending Your Son to die on a cross for us, that we might enjoy fellowship with Thee forever. We thank Thee for sending Thy Holy Spirit to teach us Thy Word and to guide us in Thy Holy Word. We ask now that You forgive us of departing from it all too often. We pray that You'll forgive us of our sins, and we pray that You'll give us a loving Spirit toward others, that we might be doing everything out of love for Thee. And we pray now that You'll be with each member of Thy church, that they will seek to honor and please Thee this day. And we pray that You'll be with the sick in our midst and the lost in our families, that they might all come to know Thee as their Savior. And we pray for Your love and mercy on their behalf. We also pray now that You'll be with Thy entire church, that You'll strengthen and build Thy church, continue to build it, and cause us, Lord, to rely on Thee and Thy Spirit and Thy power alone, and not the armor of the flesh. Watch over us and cause us, Lord, to be thankful and to glorify Thee in what we say and do. For it is in Thy name we pray these things. Amen.